You are listening to Love and War with David Harwood. Our goal is to offer spiritual insights that will enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. Should you be edified by what you hear, please recommend Love and War to people you love. Let's begin. We are called to give hope to one another. We're called to receive encouragement. We're called to give encouragement. We're called to encourage one another to embrace hope. Now, I am going to use a template from Proverbs to encourage you to adapt this attitude. So here's the template, having to do with wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to change this from wisdom, which is the topic, to hope, which is my topic. Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 5. Acquire hope. Acquire expectation. Do not forsake hope, and hope will guard you. Love hope, and hope will watch over you. The beginning of hope is acquire hope, and with all your acquiring, get expectancy. Prize hope, and hope will exalt you. Hope will honor you if you embrace hope. We are called to embrace hope and not let hope go. Now, it is a radical challenge to expect and persevere in expectancy. It is a challenge. And we have a tendency, having been around for a little while, to resist hope. But don't be frightened of disappointment. Instead, accept and embrace hope. Get hope, acquire expectation. That's the beginning of hope. The beginning of hope, the dynamic is the same as the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is to go get it. The beginning of hope is to go get hope, accept and embrace hope. It will be good for you. To continue, the believing community is intended to be an expectant community. In fact, we are those who are called to exhibit hope in this world. And one time it says that we were without hope. Now we have hope. We are those who are called to exhibit hope, to display hope. Our culture, the believing community's culture, is to be a hopeful culture. After all, with God, all things are possible. The New Covenant community, the believing community, the church, is also not only hope-filled, but hope-filled based upon the word of the Lord and the power of the Spirit. We are called to be a prophetic community. Acts 2 speaks of a prophetic anointing coming upon the church. Reading Acts 2, Peter is quoting from Joel. He said, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Note, the prophetic anointing, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church, they shall prophesy. Now, this is both a supernatural empowerment, it is a spiritual unction to prophesy, and it is also a mandate. We are to be those who are a prophetic community. And one aspect of the prophetic mandate from one believer to another in the midst of the church is to both receive hope from God and to give hope to others. Isaiah 35 verse 4 says, "Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you." Say to those with anxious hearts, take courage, don't fear. God is going to come and he's going to fulfill your hopes. To all those who can hear from God, again, here is the mandate. Say to those with anxious heart, say to those who have given up confident expectation, take courage, don't fear. expect that God is going to come and set things right. Now, the prophetic is given for this purpose, to encourage hope, to encourage expectation. Within the framework of the believing community, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, it says, "One who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation." At the very least, we are called to encourage one another, and our mutual fellowship and our corporate worship is to be branded with hope. In Romans 5:2, it says, "We exult in hope of the glory of God." We exult in expectant anticipation of God's glory. Now, yes, this is for the age to come. This is about resurrection glory, the glory of a restored world, the glory of a restored social and natural order. But this is also for the expectation of God acting in our lives at this time so that our hope for the future is illuminated by our current experience. We are called to mutual encouragement. We are called to corporate hope. That reference in 1 Corinthians was to encourage one another through spiritually subjective, intuitively given prophetic ministry. Now, we've just spoken about the role responsible prophetic ministry has in stirring up and strengthening hope in the believing community. Now, all of that is based on the testimony of the scriptures as the Spirit applies the sweep of revelation to one's current situation. Now, last week we spoke about an apostolic example of pastoral teaching ministry concerning hope, and we're going to rehearse Paul's instruction. In Romans 15, he speaks about two specific ways that we are to receive and cultivate hope. Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, verse 4, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope, we might have confident expectation." So you look at this verse, perseverance, encouragement of the scriptures, which have been given to us so that we might have hope. And the next verse, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to the Messiah Jesus." Look at verse 5. It's God who gives perseverance and encouragement. The prior verse, it's the scriptures which are the source of perseverance and encouragement. Now note that in both verse 4 and 5, what is being given through the scriptures and applying ourselves to the Word, and God working in our lives through the Word by the Spirit, what's being given is perseverance and encouragement. First, hope coming through the scriptures. Now, we mentioned the prophetic, prophesying hope, prophesying expectation into the believing community. Now, this is an appeal to the objective revelation, not our valuable subjective experiences. This is an appeal to people to go into the text, see that which has been written, consider it in the light of the fact that God himself is for us in the same way that he was for ancient Israel, in the same way that he loves the Jewish people today, according to Romans, where it says that they are beloved for the sake of the forefathers. Well, every believer in the Messiah Jesus is especially beloved for the sake of Jesus. God is on your side. He is conforming you to the image of Jesus, and he is working through you in order to help to conform the current circumstance in which you find yourself to be a hint of the glory of the age to come. Again, we spoke about subjective experiences and the prophetic ministry of speaking hope into the congregation, but we're now looking at the objective word of the Lord. In Isaiah 8, verse 20, the prophet says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn." Now, our subjective and intuitive experiences are valuable, and the scriptures are valuable. Let's value both. This section in Romans is about the scriptures, so get into the word of God. Look at it and say, well, from whom is it written? To whom is it written? What is the context? Try to understand what is actually being said, and then also apply it spiritually and look to the Spirit through the Word for practical guidance. Secondly, hope comes to us from God. First, through the Scriptures, and secondly, from God. Impartation from God to us is that we might be able to say, ultimately, that we have been formed by the Word, formed by the Spirit, individually and corporately, and we are of the same mind with one another according to Jesus. The same mind together with one another. This is the result of perseverance and encouragement that comes first from the Scriptures and secondly from God Himself. And this corporate mindset is a mindset that hopes. It is a corporate mindset of expectancy, and that has this result. Once again, the development of a fellowship of disciples who exude and display confident expectation, verse 6, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. The process begins with the encouragement of the Scriptures so that we might have expectancy. The process commences with expectancy and ends with praise and worship. Again, so that with one accord we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of Yeshua. Our praise and worship is to be an expression of a people who have faith and upon faith's foundation, grounded in the Word, have expectancy, have hope. This is part of the expectancy of the believing community. One hope of the believing community is that they would be what? Filled with hope. That we would be filled with confident expectation. And we can expect that to happen. We can expect that Paul's benediction later on in Romans 15:13, that the God of hope would fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that we would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can expect, we can hope that that benediction will transpire in our lives as individuals and as a community. The God of hope filling us with joy-filled, peace-filled hope so that the believing community might abound in triumphant expectation by the Holy Spirit's power. The community believes in the God who has acted and who shall act. In Romans, we find that He has saved us and He will save us. He has justified us and He will justify us. He has glorified us and He will glorify us. In addition, we see in Romans that He has set things up and He is setting things up. He is setting things up for the synergy, for the advance of the kingdom of God and the fulfillment of your life's calling. Now, this may be seen in the believing community's worship and prayer, this confident expectation that God is the God of the resurrection. It can be seen in the believing community's worship and prayer. This also speaks to the corporate prayer of agreement that is focused upon a certain future which comes from God, a certain future giving us a certain expectation. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 4, exulting in the hope of the glory of God, being filled with hope by the power of the Spirit, these texts are referencing hope that are end-time oriented. It is the hope wherein we participate in the resurrection of the righteous, being justified, and partake of the ages to come, receiving the inheritance He has for us. However, that which is true about the end is also true about now. All of that which is true about the end of the ultimate deliverance and restoration that comes from God is applicable to our intermediate events as well, the events, the circumstances in which we find ourselves today. Now and the future experience are based upon what? The past, where Jesus gave Himself up for us and ripped apart Hades' dominion over the earth. The anticipated end is predicated upon the beginning of the new creation the Messiah has established. Now, here we are in the midst of this age, anticipating the next, and we look back to the cross. We look back to the resurrection. He's the God of the resurrection. Therefore, I have hope for my immediate present. He's the God of the future who is going to come back and make everything right, and therefore I have hope for my immediate future. We look back again to the cross, to the resurrection, and we find He's the God of the resurrection. Therefore I have hope for my ultimate future. I have hope for my present, my immediate future, and my ultimate destiny, because it is like one fabric that is comprised of the cloth of heaven's victory in and through the Messiah. He's the same God who works the same way. He raised Jesus from the dead, but Jesus himself is the first fruits of that which will be restored. Not just a redeemed humanity, but new heavens, new earth, new justice, new righteousness. Everything is going to get raised up. God has gone to war and has established the foundational triumph over all of this futility and wickedness. The troubles of this time are like the thrashings of some leviathan which has already had its head cut off. Now, of course, that reality calls for balance. There are many people that go around saying, well, he's like a roaring lion, but he doesn't have any teeth. Well, there are a lot of people who believe that way, who are walking around without limbs because they've had their limbs cut off, their arms, their hands chomped off by the adversary. Peter did not say that the devil was like a toothless lion ready to gum you to death and drown you in his slobber. No, the adversary has real teeth, and so we are to be vigilant. But it is not a type of vigilance that is based upon fear. It is a vigilant expectation. We are looking for the return of the Lord, the truly blessed hope, but we are also looking for the presence of our God now to be active in this life. The pattern is the Messiah's passion, his resurrection, and his glorification. It is upon the basis of God revealing himself in the Messiah that we have hope, expectancy, and it is corporate hope. We are not called to be isolated in the fights of our lives. We are called to corporately war for hope. God will bring people to us to encourage us, and God will send us to encourage people. We will be a fellowship of hope, and to be a fellowship of hope, we must encourage one another, according to Hebrews 3:13a, day after day. It is part of our taking care. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 13, take care, brethren. Now, please note the affection in that term, brethren. We are to have a brotherly and sisterly love for one another, and we are to look out for one another. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And one thing which we're called to encourage one another to do is to maintain hope, not just for the future, although that is ultimate, but also hope for the present. It is possible to fall away from the promise, the hope of the promise, and disqualify ourselves like Israel wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. And in this context, encouraging one another is part of the practical spiritual warfare which we are to wage. We encourage one another from the vantage point of the Messiah's victory, and we go from strength to strength. He is our hope. He is our resurrected, living, confident expectation, and we can put our hope in him to fulfill the reasons for which he called us. In fact, he will also give you the desires of your heart. Let's not miss Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Cultivate faithfulness and trust in him. Psalm 37, don't be angry at the ascendancy of the wicked and angry at God, but delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, what you are longing for, what you have been working for, that for which your heart asks. He will bless the works of your hands. And so, we love God, and we love one another. Therefore, we want one another to what? To fulfill everything God wants for each one. This is such a vital part of our fellowship. We are to encourage one another to resurrect hope which may have died prematurely. Sometimes people give up their hope, and it's all of a sudden, my hope is dead. But you see, there is a time where hope is to be released. But generally speaking, people who give up their confident expectation, their hope has died prematurely. We should encourage one another to return to confident expectation, to return to the deep dreams which are difficult to articulate, and to hope together that both giftings and callings would come to full fruition, to hope for promises pertaining to the temporal that have not yet come to pass in this life. We are called to be a fellowship of hope, and that source of hope is what it is God has accomplished in the Messiah Jesus when he gave himself up for us all so that we might live together with him. We're called to hope. Let us encourage one another. Let us encourage one another today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you would abound in confident expectation by the power of His wonderful Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to an episode of Love and War with David Harwood. We hope these biblical, spiritual insights will enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you were encouraged by what you heard, please recommend Love and War to people you love. Our intention is to share another episode next week. Meanwhile, according to the favor of God, think about what you just heard and apply it. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to write me at loveandwar_dh@yahoo.com.